Chapter 3. It is said that there are three stages of life for those of us who live our lives in circles. These are rejection, exploration, and acceptance. As categories go, they are rather glib and contain within them many different layers disguised behind these wider words. Rejection, for example, can be subdivided into various cliched reactions, like so: suicide, despondency, madness, hysteria, isolation, and self-destruction. I, like nearly all Kalachakra, experienced most of these at some stage in my early lives, and their recollection lingers within me, like a virus still twisted into my stomach wall. For my part, the transition to acceptance was unremarkably difficult. The first life I lived was undistinguished. Like all young men, I was called to fight in the Second World War, where I was a thoroughly undistinguished infantryman. Yet, if my wartime contribution was meagre, my life after the conflict hardly added to a sense of significance. I returned to Hewn House after the war to take over the position which had been held by Patrick, tending to the grounds around the estate. Like my adopted father, I had been raised to love the land, the smell of it after rain, and the sudden fizzing in the air when all the seeds of the gorse spilt at once into the sky. And if I felt in any way isolated from the rest of society, it was merely as the absence of a brother might be to an only child, an idea of loneliness without the relevant experience to make it real. When Patrick died, my position was formalized, though by then the Hewn's wealth was almost entirely extinguished through squander and inertia. In 1964, the property was bought by the National Trust, and I with it, and I spent the latter part of my years directing ramblers through the overgrown moors that surrounded the house, watching as the walls of the manor itself slowly sank deeper into the wet black mud. I died in 1989 as the Berlin Wall fell, alone in a hospital in Newcastle, a divorcee with no children and a state pension who, even on his deathbed, believed himself to be the son of the long-departed Patrick and Harriet August, and who died, eventually, from the disease that has been the bane of my lives. Multiple myelomas, which spread throughout the body until the body itself simply ceases to function. Naturally, my reaction to being born again precisely where I had begun, in the women's restroom of Berwick-upon-Tweed Station on New Year's Day, 1919, with all the memories of my life that had gone before, induced its own rather clichéd madness in me. As the full powers of my adult consciousness returned to my child's body, I fell first into a confusion, then an agony, then a doubt, then a despair, then a screaming, then a shrieking, and finally, aged 7 years old, I was committed to St. Margot's Asylum for Unfortunates, where I frankly believed myself to belong, and within 6 months of my confinement, succeeded in throwing myself out of a window on the third floor. Retrospectively, I realise that three floors are frequently not high enough to guarantee the quick, relatively painless death that such circumstances warrant, and I might easily have snapped every bone in my lower body and yet retained my consciousness intact. Thankfully, I landed on my head, and that was that.